Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you.
Good to be in the house of God, church. Amen. It's good to see you. It's a celebration Sunday. We have 11 people that have said yes to Jesus and are being baptized. Amen. So praise God. It's also a day where we celebrate what God is doing. God is bringing things into alignment for Pneuma. And we know that for a long time we've been living in the promises of God and promises of growth and expansion and just more of what I can't handle on my own, right? And so the Lord is making room and our Spanish our Spanish service is moving to 2 o'clock today, so they're going to be here right after us. And next year, sometime we'll have a second English service at 9. So God is making it happen. And I also want to say this to tell you, because we have a service after us, don't leave your trash. Don't leave your trash. Take your muckle tissues and all that. Praise God, right? Take them with you, throw them away, and let's leave it in good condition for the next service. Amen. Praise God. I also want to say just a shout out to a little sister who was worshiping up here, Ava. She's got her birthday hat on. I see it's your birthday. So happy birthday, Mama. This family has had a hard year, and they're faithful, and they show up, and they worship hard, so praise God for that, and praise God for you, Ava, because I see you worshiping up there. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to the Word. Amen. If you would stand with me, we're going to go to John chapter 15. We're going to read 1 through 11. John 15, 1 through 11. Amen. And y'all, continue to be in prayer for my wife. Little Isla is growing. She's getting stronger. And praise God for that. And my wife wants to be here. But you know how it is. Everybody touches little babies. So if she does decide to come, keep her hands off. Okay? And I'm going to be saying that as a girl dad for the rest of my life anyway. So just keep your hands off my daughter. Amen. We ready? John 15, that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burn. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Amen. Heavenly Father, my God, I pray that you would meet us here in this moment. Father God, I pray against any distractions, rumbling bellies, my God. I pray against anything that would distract us from the word that you have for your people today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be on my lips, that this would be nothing of me and all of you, my God, and that we would receive it in the same way, Father. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can take your seat. Amen. I entitled the sermon today very, very simply, Abide. Abide. Last week, we talked about the importance of being full of the Spirit and staying full of the Spirit. It's with the Spirit that we can stand up against temptations and spiritual attacks from the enemy. It's with the Spirit that we're given power, we're given strength to bear spiritual things. Without the Spirit of God, we're nothing, we're powerless. And here in this passage, Jesus isn't specifically talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking more specifically about himself and how we as disciples of Christ must fully abide in him. So between last week and this week, I believe God is trying to tell us something, and you'll notice kind of a theme of just being intentional in our spiritual walk. How many of us know that we got to be intentional in our walk with Jesus? You got to be intentional to be full of the Spirit, because you can be present and not really present. You know what I mean? You can be close and still disconnected at the same time. It's kind of interesting that Jesus says, abide in me and not abide by me. He says, abide in me. And that's not just like an English thing. The Greek preposition en means a marker of a position defined as being in a location or a space or a place within which something is found. In other words, be found in Jesus. And let Jesus be found in you. But that's something we have to do intentionally, church. Intentionally, not habitually, right? Habitually, you come to church on Sundays. Habitually, you bow your head in prayer before you go to sleep or before you eat a meal. Habitually, you fast for 21 days in January. Those are habits. Habitually, you go on a date night with your spouse every Friday night. But unless you're not pouring into your marriage with those date nights, you're going to be close, but not connected. Good habits help you build your relationship with God, but they're not your relationship with God. So Jesus says, abide in me as a branch abides in the vine. That means we have to constantly be receiving from the vine itself. This whole section, this chapter and the following chapter is really Jesus. He's encouraging his disciples. He's preparing them for what is about to take place. He's getting ready to leave. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to die. He's going to resurrect. He's going to be back for just a little while, and then he's going to go again. And so he's trying to prepare his disciples for what is to come. As of this point, they have been totally dependent on Jesus. They've walked with him for 3 years. They've learned so much from Jesus. They've observed him. Their lives have totally been transformed by Jesus. And now he's leaving, and they're about to enter a world of hostility. Because he's not just leaving, he's also sending them. He's sending them into a world of hostility and persecution, and they're going to be hated for his name's sake, and they're going to be flogged, and they're going to be beaten, they're going to be imprisoned, they're going to be thrown in, they're going to be killed, and their fruit is going to be tested. And so Jesus gives them the answer to all of this. He says, this is what's about to happen. I'm about to leave. You're not going to have me here physically, so you have to abide in me. That's the answer, church. He didn't say, you can do it. He didn't say, échale ganas, right? He didn't say, he didn't say, be strong. He said, in fact, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You could try, but apart from me, you can do nothing. This should tell us something, church. This should tell us that when our fruit is being tested, when your patience is being tried, when your joy is being compromised, when your faith is weakening, when your love for God or your love for other people is fading, that's not something that you fix with counseling. Counseling is great. I believe in counseling. My wife is a counselor. But that's not what, you don't fix those things. You don't fix spiritual things with mental counseling. You don't fix it by pulling away from the church and saying, you know what, I just need a break. I just need some me time. This is something that you fix by going even deeper into relationship with the Father. Abide in me, he says. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter who you're with, no matter what happens in your life, no matter what comes upon you, abide in me. You hear me? It's so simple, right? And you're like, yeah, I got it. You didn't need to preach this one, Pastor. I got this one. But that's the teaching. I want you to hold on to that today. Because if you don't abide in me, you don't bear fruit. And if you don't bear fruit, you're going to be cut off. Bearing fruit isn't optional, church. It's not an add-on to Christianity. We treat it like it is. Salvation is, I need salvation, but fruit is optional. No, it ain't optional. You don't get to say, you know, I need a little bit more love, but gentleness, nah, I'm good. I'm good. If people don't like the way that I talk, well, that's on them. All right? You know somebody like that, right? If they don't like how I am, well, then. Fix your fruit. It ain't optional. He ain't offering it to you like it's just like an a la carte item to Christianity. He says, bear fruit, because if you don't, you're going to rot, and I don't need you anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, what good is the grapevine that doesn't produce grapes? It's like a Christian who doesn't produce spiritual fruit. At some point, you will be cut off, no matter how good the habits are, no matter how good the gifts are, no matter how many times a week you're at church. God wants to see the fruit. He wants to know if this relationship with his son means anything to you. Is it marriage just on paper, or is it fruitful? Because you can be married and have a crappy marriage. And you can be technically in covenant with the Lord and be on the brink of being cut off. Don't go 5 years with Jesus looking like you did 5 years before. Somewhere in those 5 years should be a stretching, and there should be a harvest. And maybe your flesh is weaker, maybe your mind is slower, maybe your heart is wounded, but your spirit is thriving. That's the way it should be when you abide in the vine. But here's the interesting thing. Listen. Your job, somebody say my job. Your job isn't to produce the fruit. Your job is to remain in the vine. I'm going to say that again because that was a good little nugget. You know, it's cute, but it's true. We can't produce fruit on our own. Again, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm just a branch. That's it. A branch is nothing without the vine that it's connected to. Your job isn't to produce the fruit. It's to remain in the vine. The word abide in Greek is meno, and it means to remain. It means to stay. Again, that's the teaching. Remain in the vine. And I want to illustrate this for you, not with a visual illustration. That's Pastor D. She's the plant lady illustrator. I told her once, I said, I feel like I've learned everything about plants just from watching your sermon illustrations. Mine's more of a description than an illustration. So I asked ChatGPT. I asked ChatGPT to explain. Listen. I asked ChatGPT to explain the scientific process of grape production on a grapevine, and it gave it to me, and I was like, "All right, nerd it down. Tell me like I'm six." And it gave it to me. Now, this is what you want to know. I don't use ChatGPT to write my sermons. Okay? No. In fact, one time, because ChatGPT knows I'm a pastor, ChatGPT told me. He said, if you're writing a sermon, you should say this. And bro, I rebuked that thing so fast. I said, shut up. You ain't the Holy Spirit. Stop trying to give me spiritual advice. That's another sermon, but that's the world we're going to, man, where people are going to ChatGPT for spiritual advice. Man, rebuke that. That's the devil, okay? That's artificial. That's artificial wisdom. That's artificial knowledge. There ain't no spirit there. But for this, it worked. Okay? ChatGPT is a great resource, but not Holy Spirit. This is what ChatGPT says about the scientific process of grape production. It says this: a grapevine survives because everything starts at the roots. The roots pull water and minerals from the soil, and the vine acts like a living pipeline carrying those nutrients to every connected branch. The leaves on the branches capture sunlight and turn it into sugars through photosynthesis, and the vine distributes those sugars wherever they're needed. Over time, that constant flow of water, nutrients, and energy allows tiny buds to form, which eventually becomes clusters of grapes. Here's the fascinating part. All right, Chad, lock in. The branch, it says, the branch doesn't manufacture grapes on its own. It simply stays connected to the vine. And the vine supplies everything needed for the fruit to grow. But the moment a branch is cut off, that supply line is broken. It may look healthy for a while, but it's no longer living receiving water or nutrients, it slowly dries. Okay, you got to know that. You ain't even the grape. You're just the branch. The only way that you or I can bear fruit is by remaining in him. That's the only way. Again, Jesus is telling this to his disciples. I want you to really picture it. He's telling this to his disciples as they're preparing to be departed from him. They're not going to be able to see Jesus the same way that they saw him before. They're not going to be able to communicate, have a conversation face to face the way that they once did. They're not going to be able to feel him the way that they did before. It kind of feels, if I'm a disciple, Lord, it kind of feels like you passed away. Because you're not here the same way you were. And so they have to depend on the Holy Spirit's empowerment to stay connected to this Jesus that they were walking with literally every single day for 3 years. Now, we know that we have to stay connected to the vine. We know that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do that. That sounds very easy and great and gets all the amens, but we also know that it comes with obstacles. Because as Jesus knows, as he's telling the disciples, there will be obstacles. There will be temptation. There will be spiritual attacks. There's going to be moments where you're going to be crying out to God and it's going to feel like no one is listening. There's going to be moments of pain and sickness and agony and frustration and annoyance, and you're annoyed with everybody that God has put in your life. And these are, all of these things are meant to influence you away from the vine. And you know what? If you do produce fruit, that fruit will be tested. Can I tell you that the Christian life, especially I want to tell maybe newer Christians or people that are not, have not said yes to Jesus yet. I want to tell you like it is. Being a Christian is hard. It's hard, right? It ain't easy. Now, you might have an easy life. You might have a blessed life. I believe many of us are blessed in so many different ways. I said that a few weeks ago. But it is hard to be in the Spirit consistently the way that God would have us be. It's hard to not let life affect us and keep having faith and just keep walking in joy and just keep having peace. I believe heaven holds no moments where a smile will not be on our face, praise the Lord. Where sorrow comes over us. The Bible says he shall thirst no more. He shall hunger no more. Every tear will be wiped from his eye. I can't wait for that day where it's just full of joy and full of unity and full of love. And it's going to look so different. I can't wait for that day. I can't even imagine it. Can't even imagine it. Because it's not even going to be fake. It's going to be real. I'm going to be grinning ear to ear. But until then, somebody say until then. There are going to be some struggles. Life is going to happen. Life is going to beat you down. And you're going to be on a high on a Sunday and then a new low on a Monday. There are times in my life where it feels like all my fruit has gone and no new fruit is coming. I don't know if you felt like that before. Horrible feeling. Horrible. I feel like I'm depleted. My fruit is rotten and nothing new is coming in. And then there's other times where I do feel like I've got good, healthy fruit. And you know what Jesus says? You're still going to be pruned. So if I have no fruit, you'll be cut off. And if you do have fruit, you'll be pruned. You hear what I'm saying? This is what Jesus is saying. Jesus, you're telling me that if I don't remain in you, I'm going to be cut off. And if I do remain in you, I'm still going to be cut. Either way, Jesus is saying, I'm going to cut you. Either way. That's hard. That's the hard part of being a Christian. The growing never ends. Therefore, the pains never end. Growing pains, right? If we are called to grow regularly, which we are, it means we are called to pain regularly. And I'm going to ask you if you want to accept Jesus later. But that's the truth. There's always going to be a new test. There's always going to be a new pruning. And this is why a lot of people don't make it. They stop staying connected and are cut off from the vine. And I don't know how many people are in a pruning process right now. I had a lot of conversations this week with people that are just going through some struggles. And so I want to speak to you. The thing about the pruning process is that, you know, it hurts. It hurts because you're being cut. And it can be very confusing, at least for me at times, because when you're being cut, you're not sure if you're being cut or if you're being cut off. So you don't know. Like you're going through something and you're like, God, is this happening because you're angry with me? That I do something wrong? Is it because I've sinned too much? I let you down too many times? Maybe I didn't get the discernment right. Maybe I didn't get the faith right. Are you disappointed in me? Is that why I'm going through this? God, are you done with me? Am I still anointed? Has your grace run out for me? Have I struggled so much for so long? Have I done the same thing for so long and you're just done with me? Has your grace and patience run out? We don't always know if we're being cut or cut off. Sometimes people are being cut off and they just think they're being cut. That's embarrassing. The Jews are the perfect example. Paul says in Romans 11 that the natural branches, which were the Jews, were cut off because they rejected Jesus, thinking they were doing the will of the Father. And we as the Gentiles have been grafted in. The pain of being cut and being cut off is sometimes unrecognizable because it's identical. And so I want to encourage the saints of God this morning, those who, man, you know you love God. You're not perfect, but you love God. You fear God. Or maybe you just feel a little distant from God. Don't think that God has given up on you. Don't think that God doesn't still love you. Don't think that he's not still mindful of you. Maybe you're just being pruned right now. Maybe you're just being pruned. Blessings don't always look like success. And so when we're being pruned and we're being tested and we're being tried, a lot of times it's so much loss before there's gain. And we equate loss with a lack of favor. And we equate loss with a lack of blessing and a lack of God's presence. But it's just the opposite. God is making room for more. Because last year's peace is not going to survive this year's storm. Last year's love isn't going to survive some of the people that God is about to put into your life. Last year's faith is no match for what's coming. And so he's got to put you to the test and cut the parts of you that won't withstand the next season so that the new fruit can come in. Jesus had anticipated everything that the disciples were going to go through. Everything. Imagine being God. Imagine being the Father. Imagine being a father or a parent. And I'm talking to my girls, got three little girls. One of them doesn't understand anything yet, but I got three little girls. Oh. And I see it all. I see everything that they're going to go through. Jesus saw a lot of pruning that was going to happen in the disciples, a lot of testing, a lot of moments where they were going to be asking, man, I'm doing all of this for God. Why am I so hated for it? The pain of being pruned feels like the pain of being cut off. And you know, a lot of times we talk about our faith being tested. I think we've all had our faith tested. We've all had struggles with doubt, fear, every enemy of faith. But it's not just your faith. It's your fruit. Your fruit is going to struggle. Your fruit is going to be tested. What about your patience? I've had my patience branch tried so many times. So many times. I've had my joy branch tested so many times. And here's the thing. I thought I had plenty of that thing. I thought I had plenty of joy in my life. Man, I used to wake up singing in the morning. Kid you not. I would annoy Melissa because she's a lot less of a morning person. But I would wake up and I'd be singing praises. And she'd be like, can you just take that to the living room? Man, I would wake up just full of life. And I see that. I see that in my little girl. I see that in Ellie. She is so full of life, so full of joy. I mean, she's just all in her own little world. And it just brings me joy. And I pray over it. Lord, never take away that joy. Because you know what has happened over time? That joy in my life has dissipated. I'm just being real. I was 23 years old when I got married. Thought I had it all figured out. Thought I had made it. Had my own house. two cars. I was married to a beautiful woman. But when you get married, that's when you become a man. That's what I was told. And I started to stress about things that I had never stressed about before. Worry about things I never worried about before. Started to lose my hair at a quicker rate. And that joy over time, it fell off. And I'll tell you the truth, no lie. There were times where I would wake up in sorrow, asking for the Lord to end the day. It's 6 a.m. in the morning. God, I just want to go to sleep again. And it's in moments like those that this command should echo so loudly in our spirits. Abide. And when you're unsure if you're being cut or you're being cut off, what do? You hang on for dear life. In places you've never even sought him before. In your bathroom, in your car, in your shower, in the bedroom, in your Instagram algorithms, like everywhere he must be. You must abide in him. Amidst the pain, amidst the sadness, amidst the frustration and the depression. And when you do that, you're going to see that God was never cutting you off. He was just pruning you. He was making room. He was making more room for fruit to grow and grow in a healthy way. Don't let the enemy tell you that you're losing when in fact you are gaining more than you've ever gained before. The devil's mad because that fool's already been cut off. And the only thing that he's got coming to him is a lake of fire and chains for eternity. But you, man of God, you, woman of God, you have an abundance of spiritual blessings on its way to prepare you and equip you for the season that is to come in your life. Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard for us to abide in Christ? Why is it so, like, in everything? In everything. Listen. In everything. Some of you are like, Pastor Ryan, stop yelling at me. I do abide in Christ. No. In everything? Come on, I want us to be real. Man, I pray that this convicts you because it did me. Fruit comes from different sources. Listen, fruit comes from different sources. Sometimes we see somebody's fruit and we think it's spiritual fruit. It's not. The fruit that you display, the fruit that you bear, is produced by what you abide in. Okay? So if you are constantly seeking and abiding in financial security, no shade to financial security. I like financial security. But if that's where you're rooted in, that's where your mind is rooted in, your peace is going to come from that root. Don't call it the peace of God if it ain't the peace of God. Because what's going to happen when that root is broken or dried out? So crumbles your peace. If your joy comes primarily from your family, when your family is happy, when your family is healthy, when everybody's having a good time and there's low stress, that's when we'll see joy. But don't call it the joy of the Lord. Because what happens when something breaks? What happens when somebody betrays your trust? What happens when your joy doesn't come from the Lord? It comes from the church. And when everything is good, that's when you've got joy. But then when you get church hurt, you're like, God, I can't do this anymore. Don't call it the joy of the Lord if that ain't what it is. Your fruit comes in whatever you are connected to. That's where it's produced. So may the Lord reveal to us what we're abiding in. That's why I say abide in him in everything. For Christians, many of us bear ministry fruit. We bear leadership fruit. And our growth is connected to those things. But that's not the same thing as the Holy Spirit infused, Jesus produced fruit. I'm almost done. And I'm not going to end with a banger, but I want to let this sit here. Jesus says, I am the true vine. Emphasis on true. In the Old Testament, Israel was called the vine of God. That's what they were. Israel was the vine of God. And Isaiah 5 is one example talking about Israel. I don't know if the keyboard player's coming out, but he says this, Isaiah 5, Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of the stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. And I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. Centuries after this, the Jews still believed that they were the vine. A privileged people of God, of whom everyone else had to go through to receive God's grace and blessings. But that vine, that vineyard was broken. Because listen, church, nothing that you choose to abide in, nothing, not your health, not your family, not your ministry, not your church, nothing that you choose to abide in can offer true love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control as the true vine that is Jesus. Nothing, nothing, nothing. It's all artificial. It's all fake. You see those beautiful fake plants? I love them because they look so good. And you don't need to water them. You don't need to maintain them. All they're there for is just to look pretty. And we've got a lot of Christians abiding in things that aren't true. They're just to look pretty. Abide in me, Jesus says. Abide in me, and I in you. Our relationship with God has to be intentional, and it has to be invitational. So, Lord, I want to be in you, God, but I also need you in me. And every conversation and every confrontation, because suddenly when we start confronting each other, the spirit goes out of the room. And every moment and every season, Lord, be in me, be in me. One thing I've learned from all my years of pastoring, I've shared this before with our leaders, our pastor, getting in the Lord will mature them. We have to allow the vine to do its job. I can't produce your fruit for you. You can't even do that. No matter how hard I preach, no matter how often I disciple, no matter how frequently we correct, I can't produce your fruit. I still have your attention. I see a lot of wandering eyes. Come here for a second. Stay right here. I can't produce your fruit. I can't do it. Your leaders, your pastors, your mom, your dad, as spiritual as they may be, as much as they might pray for you, they cannot produce your fruit. And so when I see people acting funny and spiritually mature, correction is needed. Correction is discipleship. But correction only makes you aware of the problem. You have to go back. You have to take it to God. You have to give it to him and allow him to do the pruning and the producing. Not every God-abiding Christian is there yet. In fact, Paul says we won't even get there until Christ returns to the fullness of the maturity of the body of Christ. That means that life must be a constant pursuit of God. I need you to hear me. So when life has you in a season that's hard and unfair and painful, and remain in the Lord, remain in the Word, remain in the Spirit, because you can't do it on your own. So let him teach you, let him show you, and let him cut you. Let him cut you with the word. Let them cut you with the spirit. Let them cut you with experiences that are meant to break you, to rebuild you. But whatever happens, don't find yourself out of relationship with Jesus. Stay in the vine. I plead with you. Abide. I want you to stand with me. If you're going to be baptized, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you to get ready. Prayer team. I want to pray this prayer over you, and then I'm going to invite you to this altar to turn in whatever you need to turn into the Lord, to cry out to Him. And you're saying, Pastor, man, I've been crying out to God every single day. You keep doing it. Keep doing it. Don't give up. Don't get weary. Holy Spirit, I pray over this body, God. Over every single person that is facing hardship and struggle and pain, sickness, whatever it is, God. There's people here, my God, who have almost quit. There's people here this morning who almost didn't come to church. But my God, you had a word for them because you see them and you know them and you hear them even when they feel like you don't hear them. I pray that you would embrace them today, Father God, and encourage them that they must remain in you, Father God, that you are working something, my God. Give them strength this morning. Nurture them, Holy Ghost.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at MyNuma Church. Thanks again, and God bless.